original intention was to understand the complete sequence of all the DNA in the canola genome, understand where the genes were and what function they carried out in the crop. But along the way, we found out that the canola crop had really, and the species had really only come together from two original vegetable-type species only 7,000 years ago. And it's that insight which now we're able to use to try and improve the crop, make it more versatile, grow in a wider range of regions in the world, and make it more resistant to diseases and so forth.
And so what were some of those vegetables species?
So on one side, there's the species which includes cabbages, cauliflowers, broccoli. And on the other side, the species that includes turnips, Chinese cabbage, and pak choi. So they've been separated in evolutionary terms for several million years. And then what we believe has happened is they've been grown side by side as domesticated crops, and by chance have fused together their sets of chromosomes and formed this new species called Brassica napus, which is for the last 40 years been grown worldwide as an oil crop.
And so 7,000 years actually seems quite young when you're talking about millions of years.
It certainly is, and it's really a blink of an eye in evolutionary terms. So for us, we're very excited to see what's happening within the chromosomes in this relatively short period of time and what agriculture and domestication of a crop has done within the chromosomes. There's what seems to be happening is there's an exchange of similar types of genes between the two original genomes, and that's generating the ability to select types of canola which are more adapted to modern growing conditions.
And so how will the Australian canola industry benefit from this research?
So their benefit, not immediately, but progressively over the next few years to over the next decade, by the ability of plant breeders to select a wider range of cultivars which are more adapted to the growing conditions. And of course, we have real problems with climate change and climate variability, and we need the canola crop and related crops to adapt to flowering at different times in the year and be more responsive to the variations in the availability of water, and also, of course, to try and reduce the input of fertilizers.
And so how excited are plant breeders with this research then?
I've yet to see the plant breeders. We're due to meet at the end of this month in South Australia for a meeting that goes on every 3 years in the Brassica research community in Australia. I know from colleagues I've met elsewhere in the world that they are very excited that we finally got to this landmark, because they can now start sharing information using a common lookup table, if you like.
And so how significant are these findings?
They're significant in that I think the changes that are going on, how rapidly the crop and the genome is changing to the new circumstances, it was quicker than many scientists and breeders believe was the case before. We're able now to look at, with this sequence as a reference, look at a very wide range of varieties and understand why they're different and how those differences can then be harnessed for the new crops.
Were you surprised that canola emerged from those vegetable species?
We weren't surprised, because there had been very careful work carried out in which was published in 1935 by a scientist in Japan, a Korean scientist in Japan. He had been looking directly at the chromosomes and figured out where they had come from. What we didn't know was what the consequence of that was, and that's what we've now been able to sort out.